Today on Living Witnesses, we are going to look at the points of consideration for St. Teresa of Avila in the book, The Four Teresas by Gina Lair, and they are on page 45 if you're following along in the book. Points of consideration. If the young Teresa were alive today, she might be inclined to read Vogue, Glamour, InStyle, and People magazines, and to gossip with her friends. Like many of us, she had to battle to free herself from the intense desire to have a perfect appearance and to be popular. Her soul was not free to advance in holiness until she let go of these worldly distractions. Consider, how do concerns about my appearance or my popularity distract me from the desire to become holy?
At this stage in my life, I might not be seeking popularity in the same way that I did, you know, as a teenager or a young adult maybe, but how often does my desire to be liked or approved of, even among my children or my, you know, women's Catholic fellowship group, like, do we seek popularity in a way that doesn't seem like superficial and worldly, but how much are our motivations affected by our desire to be liked and to not want to stir the pot or cause ripples or whatever? Sometimes I think about that with my children, like having the tough conversations or calling them on to a higher standard or expectation. I might be resistant to that because I want to be popular with them to some extent. So that could be a way that it affects the current state of life sometimes in my mind.
Very good point, Gina. We don't want to overlook our spiritual vanity. It's so easy to think, well, at least I'm not like this person, or at least I'm not like that person. And we need to stop comparing ourselves to other people, whether they're in the church or out of the church, and really just look at our inner souls and look at ourselves and you know, compare ourselves to these saints if you want to compare yourself. Are you falling short? Most of us probably are.
You know, I was thinking of her humility because probably one of her struggles was spiritual pride. And so what she did is worked so hard at it that humility ended up became one of her big points that she was actually so good at that's what we saw in her. And you know, I was thinking about her actually having ecstasies and being with God and all that, and how that really humbled her too, because she saw the greatness of God. You know, we can take those bad habits and turn them around, because we end up usually working on them the most because we're like, we can really see them. It's those hidden ones that I think we struggle with even more because we can't see them in ourselves, that has to be somebody else sometimes to point them out. And that's what's so great about marriage. You know, you get somebody to point them out for us.
Right. Or I was thinking, even if it isn't a seeking after popularity exactly, just there can be a sense as a stay-at-home mom that you're not doing something with your life, or you know you don't really have outward achievements or, you know, successes, and to not worry about looking at that, but looking at your relationship with Christ as foundational and how that is the heart of all that you do. And it's funny because I was listening to a retreat a priest gave to some consecrated ladies. And initially you might think, what do I have really in common with consecrated ladies? But surprisingly a lot. He was telling them that in a way they're wasting their life for Christ, you know, because they're not doing something that has value in the eyes of the world. And that can resonate as a stay-at-home mom. And that the question prior to that question of doing, and, you know, what are you doing? Like, even as a priest, he could be, you know, like, well, I'm the rector of this parish or something. But there's a more foundational question of who am I before Christ? And what is my unique vocation? And what does he want me to be for him? And then out of that relationship of love flows all the things we do. And I think if we focus on that, then some of those insecurities of what am I doing or not doing, or what is someone else accomplishing? And, you know, they kind of melt away if we kind of focus on what is that particular calling of love that Christ has for me. And it kind of flows out of that.
I have a sister-in-law she was really, really good. She's still my sister-in-law, but she would talk about like ways to offer up, like when you're washing your hands to offer up your sins, or when you're washing the dishes to offer them up for babysitter or aborted, or, you know, whatever it might be, you could offer up anything with those daily duties to God and, you know, those acts of motherhood. And it becomes a prayer now. It's not just this duty that we have to get done.
Spiritual purification was an ongoing process for Saint Teresa. Up to a certain point in her life, she was passive about her spiritual journey, so she didn't progress. But after her conversions, she actively worked to rid herself of obstacles to the love of God. This work paid off with an eternal reward. Consider, what bad habits, vices, and sins are obstacles to my love for God?
Everything. Everything's an obstacle. It's a choice. And even when she finally became a Carmelite, it was an act of the will. It's hard. That's why we need each other in a community, in a parish, a family.
Think about this. If you sleep 8 hours, that means you're awake for 16 hours. How many of those 16 hours do we commit to God and to prayer and to our spiritual life each and every day? Now, how much of that time is spent on social media, watching TV, watching videos, shopping, sitting at practices with our kids, sporting events, or even just going to a secular movie or theater, gossiping, using a sharp tongue, or not exhibiting holy patience with our spouses and our kids or our coworkers? I was listening on Relevant Radio the other day, and one of the speakers had suggested that you set a timer every hour, you know, go into your calendar and have it go up every single hour as a reminder to take just a couple of minutes and stop and say a little prayer to begin each and every hour. How many of us do that? You know, you ask, what are obstacles to your love for God? Sometimes it's just life.
These things come to light in prayer too, I think, which is one of the great things that I think Matthew shared when he was talking about this, is that the more time we're in prayer, the more things are revealed, the deeper the relationship becomes. And I just want to bring up the image here too, that as Catholics, we understand that we are all made good and beautiful and holy. We're made in the image of God. We're restored from, you know, the effects of sin through our baptism. It's like we're set up like this beautiful diamond that can perfectly radiate the light of Christ everywhere. The issue is when we start allowing sin, selfishness, vice to get in the way, it's like we're splattering mud all over the surface of the diamond. Like, those are obstacles to the light shining. It's true, but they don't fundamentally alter the goodness of who we are, the fact that we're made in God's image. And I think it's through a life of prayer that we start to get to shimmy off those speckles and spots that are an obstacle to the light shining through. Prayer lets us realize, oh, there's a big, huge, massive wad of mud right here, which I had failed to notice because I was so used to it or whatever. So prayer helps us to realize that. Other people also, yes, through our marriage, our vocation, our communities can say, by the way, there is, you know, an obstacle that I can recognize that is preventing your light from shining. So it's a matter of shimmying that stuff off and just shining with what we're actually made to be, what we already are, what we were made as and baptized to be. It's already there. We just have to make sure that it's not being obscured.
Right. Exactly. That beautiful, you know, the castle image that, you know, I think of when I let a room get all cluttered and dirty, you know, like it's, There's this whole process. At first, you're just dealing with the big things, the clutter. And then after you start to clean that up, that's when you notice, oh, it's dusty. And look, there's fingerprints on the wall. And so sometimes, you know, you think, well, how can a saint say that they're great sinners, you know, when obviously they're so good? It's because they're farther along in that process than I am, where they're noticing all those little things and they really do see them, but they're becoming more prevalent because they've already gotten rid of all the clutter, you know, and just that whole process, and that humility is really walking in the truth, like Saint Teresa says, it's seeing with God's eyes and seeing as He sees and loving as He loves, and that how important that was when she was saying, you know, that it's not just, you know, kind of a downgrading our gifts and talents, or, you know, sort of a false humility of, oh no, but she has those beautiful three steps you wrote. That to grow in humility, it's the being quick to admit fault and slow to accuse others. How often we reverse that, and the gratitude for all the benefits in our lives. And then number three, that she was always willing to seek the guidance of those holier than she was, and not, you know, think she already knew it all. And what great, you know, concrete advice she had for what it means to grow in humility.
Possible for us as just, you know, like we said, we're average people just giving our thoughts on this, But that, like, to see God in our everyday life. I recently, we did some new landscaping in our front yard, and I have been enjoying just being out and kind of maintaining it. It's fresh, it's new, it looks great. And then the weeds start coming up. And I've really used this as, like, I'll be out there, you know, for 30 or 40 minutes. And I've started to equate it with rooting out sin. And I've watched the different types of weeds. Like, some I weed all night, and then you come back the next day and they're like 2 feet high. How did that happen? And then you have a different type of weed that subtly grows, and it really is hard to root out if you don't get down in deep. Go to a garden and see how many different types of weeds there are. And I think it can be helpful for us to just look at things in our life, to see God weaved into it, that he's not like this bad father trying to make us like angry, or he's angry or upset at us, that he's really trying to help us to grow in union with him and love. Wholeness.
Because we don't want to consume too much of your intimate God time, we're keeping these podcasts just as short as we can. It's going to wrap up our meditations for today. We will finish Points of Consideration by St. Teresa of Avila tomorrow as we're reading the book, The Four Teresas by Gina Lair.